host this week's Devil in the Detail podcast. I'm Rob Parkinson, and I'm here talking all things. So for a Devil's joining the show this week, as ever, we've got Paul Parkin. How's your week been, mate? Obviously, after last week's disappointing defeat against Wigan, have you bounced back?
Yeah. I just want to apologise for not being here last week. I was a little bit under the weather, which is a shame because I wanted to come on after a historical victory we had at Saints and the effort. I had so much to say. I mean, I think everybody would know that I go on anyway. But I was absolutely buzzing, and then I just fell ill during the week. But I got myself match fit for Thursday. And yeah, disappointment. I know we'll talk about it, but it's not spoiled my week in that way. We'll talk about it, but it was a great effort. And other than that, yeah, you see, just pretty action-packed in the last few days. It just seems to fly by. There's so much going on. So yeah, I'm not going to complain. I'm still here, so that's small victories.
Yeah. Paul Whiteside can't be with us today. He's lost his voice, keeping Britain warm. So that's whether he's shouting at boilers to get him fixed or not. I can't confirm or deny that. But yeah, not well today, not well.
No, I think from that voice note he said earlier on, I think if he came on, we'd get a few more female listeners.
Yeah.
Because he sounded, his voice was very, it worked in our favour, I think, that. Yeah, he sounded a bit Hollywood, didn't he? It suits him, that. I'd keep that part. I wouldn't take any lemon sip or anything, mate. Just crack on, you'll be right.
It was a mix of The Godfather and Barry White.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So, hope you get well soon,
yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
And let's try and keep that voice, like you say, Parky. Might increase our ladies' listenership, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you've got a job in voiceover work and everything with that. Give up the boiler stuff.
I've had an all right week. I had a filling on, what was it today? Tuesday. I had it Friday, filling. How's your teeth, Parky? Are your teeth good, or have you had fillings yourself?
I've had two, but at the age of 47, I don't think that's bad. So, yeah, they're generally okay. It's one of the parts of me that hasn't fell apart yet. So, quite happy with that. But, yeah, I have had two. I think I had them done when I was nearly 30. So, I went a long time without them. But, yeah, they're not good, are they?
Yeah, I've had two in my life. This one is a top right-hand corner. And while she was there, the dentist, she says to me, I'll just give you a bit of a scrape and clean or something, whatever it was. Oh, lordy, lordy. Felt like she was going to rip my teeth out while she was scraping away. But at one point, I was looking at her just thinking, "This, are you enjoying this?" You know what I mean? It was one of them. The worst thing was, come out, 92 quid it cost me as well. 92 quid. Yeah. So, it was never see a poor dentist, do you?
No. I think that when you go to see the hygienist, it doesn't matter how many times you clean your teeth. When they finish with you, your mouth doesn't feel like, you forget, your tongue doesn't move right in your mouth. You can't speak. It's a bit like, you've already cleaned my teeth. What have you done to me? Yeah, it's a strange feeling, isn't it? But yeah, and we pay for that honour.
Yeah.
I can see why a lot of people don't go, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, it is expensive, but it's worth it, let's be honest, because the pain that it can cause you is there's not much worse, is there?
No. I have put it off for a couple of years, but she was like, you do need to get this done. Like now, when I was like, all right, fair enough then. So, yeah, 92 quid light, sorry. So, yeah, that's the way it is. Boys and girls listening at home, make sure you wash your teeth, because if you get it wrong, it costs you a few bob.
Correct. Yeah, if you want to be, you know, famous, you need your teeth. They're not too many sort of people going around with gaps in the teeth these days on the telly. It's all turkey smiles, isn't it? So yeah, do look after your teeth. Well, look after everything.
Yeah.
Stay with me, for God's sake. If you got a warning, just look at me.
So there's your health check for this cast. Lots to go at. We'll look back at the Wigan defeat, ladies defeat against Wigan. We've got the wheelchair team. They were in action against North West Crusaders. I got all the big news coming out of the club this week, and then we've got our preview of the games that are coming this weekend. So, start with the Wigan defeat on Thursday night.
You're listening to Devil in the Detail, and this is your big match review.
So, Salford Devils were defeated against Wigan Warriors at the Salford Community Stadium. They went down to defeat 22 points to 12. Paul, Tries from Tim Laffey and Sam Stone wasn't enough for Paul Rowley's men. It was a tough battle, but unfortunately, Soper come up short.
Yeah, I felt at the end of the game, I felt a bit numb, to be honest. I thought we'd done enough easily to win that game a couple of times. We didn't take our chances, I don't think, when we had Wigan under the pump a little bit. But full credit for Wigan, the defence is immense. That's why they are who they are. They weren't going to make it easier. But at the same point, I came away thinking, I feel like more of a victim. Sometimes you can win games. The Cass game we won, and it felt like a defeat in many ways because we made it hard for ourselves. Mm. This week was the opposite. I came out of the ground feeling a bit, if it hadn't been for the odd error, we win that game. We beat Wigan, the world champions. I'll be honest, and I'm big enough to say when I'm wrong. Before the game, I looked at the two teams and I said to everyone around me, I said, this could be a thumping. Mm. I looked at the Wigan lineup and what they had on the bench, and I looked at ours and thought, this is not good. This is going to be one of them games where, like I said the other week, that we might get a thumping at some point in the season. I thought this was going to be it. Far from it. We were magnificent for probably 85% of the game. Everything we did was good. Defensively attacking, we caused problems. We made breaks. Our kicking game was superb, but we just came up short, and it kind of hurt a little bit. But the errors, again, we can go into them, and they happen. But we kind of live by the sword, and that's the team we are. But we did well. We did really well. And I think a lot of teams and fans watching us the other night, again, after the same sellings last week, won't underestimate us now. They'll understand that, yeah, Salford, you know, we've been mocked all the way through the pre-season. We've got no players. We've got no money. We nearly didn't have a ground. And now people will be looking at us going, they're not a bad team, these. Mm. And I said at the end of the game, and I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again, I am more than confident we'll make the top six. If we can keep bodies fit, performing like that, there aren't many teams in this league better than us at the moment.
Yeah, we had a lot of injuries. Brad Singleton was out. Jack Ormond-Roy was out. I think Paul Rowley said that Amir Boru passed a late finish test to play. It was, like you say, we had players who came in. Like you said, the likes of Andrew Dixon who came in. What a performance for him. Obviously playing prop forward. Not a prop forward in any shape or form, really. Causing Wigan's all kind of problems. Nofaluma came in, made his debut. I thought he looked okay. Thought he did some good stuff. His first game. But it's obviously Paul Rowley. We talked to Paul after the game. You can listen to that on one of the pop-up podcasts they were put out last week. And he was sort of talking about how this team is besieged by injuries. They're all knackered. And obviously looking to give them a rest before the Old Kingston Rovers game on Friday night. But like you say, you just took on the world champions in your own backyard and pushed them all the way. And that shows what this team's all about.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Nofaluma there. I don't think he was obviously fully fit. He looked like he was blowing, which isn't surprising. But we lost Hankinson as well. Another disruption. Ben Halliwell, who's been going well for us. Another player who was out. So five, six players, including Ollie Partington, who would also be in that squad. We can't afford that. That's going to be, and that's what I thought when I looked at the team sheet. But this isn't the game that you want these players missing. Not against the best in the world. That's not fair. But the spirit in that team, and I've said it again, there's something else I've said, that we might get thumped or we might get beat off teams, but we won't lose on heart. We might lose because we're not good enough. We might lose because we've got no bodies. But this team, and I put it on social media after the game, these are a special bunch of players we've got. And obviously a very special coach, we know that. But the bond that they've got together, the work rate, they were so good in defence the other night. We didn't, the scoreline doesn't reflect the game at any stretch, imagine. I mean, we were the better team anyway and we should have won. But for Wigan to win by that margin was that's the only disappointing side, I think. And if we'd have kept it down by one score, we'd have gone above Leeds after the weekend, which, again, would have been nice. But overall, I think the effort that they've been putting in, that Saints last week, we beat Ulkar the other week. These are games that people wouldn't put us down for winning. None of the pundits, nobody has us down for winning these games. And we nearly turned over the best in the business. And that's why I came away feeling a bit more like a win than a loss, even though we did lose it and then we lost it. With 5 minutes of madness, and that's it. But the rest of the game, I thought we were perfectly in control. I thought we were going in 0-0 at half time. And then Wigan put a kick in that only works for Wigan. That doesn't go for anybody else. Maybe Saints, but everyone else, it bounces out or it bounces somewhere else or we get on the ball. No, it was perfect. Straight in, they score right on the stroke of half-time. You're thinking, here we go. That might have just broke us a little bit just before half-time. Second half, none of it. Absolutely none of it. We came back fighting and again, got on top of them.
Yeah, Wigan scored just after half-time as well. Went 10-0 up. And like you said, Parker, after that first half, you're thinking to yourself, have we got enough here to go again? And we did. Played really well. Stam's own try, a little kick through by Mark Snead. Stone on the end of it. Under the post, over back in the contest at 10-6.
Brilliant little kick. Absolutely perfection. I mean, that's Sneedy. He's absolute best, isn't it, when he's doing stuff like that. To spot that, to put it on the right on the dime where it needs to be. And when it was going through, I thought, we're not grounding that. He's not going to get to that in time. Brilliant. I mean, Stone again backing up, though. He does that so well. Even if someone's getting an offload out or whatever, he's always there. We did it last year with Joey Burgess going in at that Warrington game, backing up, just being in the right place, knowing what's going on. Great game intelligence from Sam Stone. And at that point, we're like, yes, we're giving him a game here. This is what we want. We'll keep it tight and let's just push on and see what we can do. And I didn't expect what happened next to happen, but full credit to the lads for just keep going, keep working at them and making Wigan suffer. And you could tell the Wigan fans were panicking. They knew what was going on. Mm. And I think at the end of the game, they probably had a big sigh of relief when that hooter went. And I've not heard Matty P. I like Matty P. He's a very honest manager. I'm sure he had a lot of good words about us. I don't know, but I presume that would be the kind of thing because couldn't help being impressed by the way we kept fighting back. Because, like you say, after going two scores down, not long after our time, broken bodies all over the place, to just come back at the world champions like that, does that mean we're better than Penrith? I'm not sure. I don't know how it works.
But, like you say, we grew into the contest at that point. Salford scored again. Another kick by Snead. Tim Laffey joining the spot. Crashes over. Snead kicks the goal. We're 12-10 up.
Yeah, I mean, again, Mark Snead is, at the moment, said the other week, he's playing in a dinner suit. Nobody's getting near him. When he's got the ball, he's finding so much space and so much time to put these kicks in that are just pinpoint. You can't defend. You just can't defend that. It's not something that you can practice or anything like that. In them conditions, that ball skids off or it bounces anyway. We'd had rain for about 6 months previous to that game, haven't we? And again, he's just timed it to perfection. And then you're following up. Oh, but it's the way he's obviously communicating to the players what he's going to do. Everybody else knew, but I didn't. I don't think anyone on the ground knew it was coming. And then when he kicked it, the lads next to me went, oh, he's bounced that. He's not scored it straight away. And I went, ah. And then it came up on the screen and I went, hang on a minute. No, there's nothing wrong with that. He's got that down. And at that point, I thought, we've got these. Mm. I think we've got them rattled. I don't think they're interested now. But again, just that thinking of Mark's need, that game know-how. How are we going to get round Wigan? We're not going to bully them. They're too big. We're trying to go round them. We haven't really got the pace at the moment. Their speedsters out wide. And what we're going to do, we've got to get in behind them somehow. Perfectly placed kick. Twice.
Yeah.
Two tries. And it worked. And to do that to a team like Wigan is genius.
Mm. It was a real seesaw battle after that. Both teams went for it. Like you said, besieged by injuries. Ethan Ryan came on, played full-back. I think we had Ryan Browder defended as a standoff at one point. I think when Amir Burra went off with his head test. But obviously, like you say, we battled hard. Wigan showed why they are probably the best team in the world by cranking the pressure. I think there was a couple of opportunities there where Wigan kicked to Salford, and they forced the dropout from it. Yeah. And I just think that's what top teams do. They're able to identify even a minuscule mistake to put pressure on the opposition. And that's what happened, I think. That was a difference, I think, between us and Wigan, that they had that opportunity, that know-how, and that, like I say, game management to force errors and build pressure.
Yeah, and they got better with 12 men for some bizarre reason. I don't know what I said about Harry Smith. But anyway, I mean, The disappointing thing is there. I mean, I think one of them was King, wasn't it? And he gets pushed behind the line. Just hit the deck. Surrender. As soon as a Wigan player puts his hand on you, you're tackled. That's it then. Mm. And to not find the ground, in them conditions, what they're going to do, they're going to try. And I know it's easier said than done, and believe me, I'm not. But I think that's, we did it twice in the game, got pushed behind our own line. You've got to work at things like that. And I think that's, again, maybe he needs a bit of help from his teammates and everything else. But I don't know, that's disappointing. If that doesn't happen, what does happen after that? Doesn't happen, you know what I mean? We don't get to this point.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing. I'm not knocking on, and certainly not knocking King, because he had a wow of a game. He was unbelievable the other night. He was a proper workhorse, and Wigan didn't like tackling him. Really didn't. He looked like he had his mad up. I don't know what someone had said to him or what, but he was ripping into him. And with the absence of several forwards, really, certainly two or three props, he just took the mantle on himself and went for him. So I'm not having to go at King. I'm just little things like that. The top teams don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. Them little one percenters, as they say.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like I said, that's what they sense, that opportunity, don't they? The top teams, not just Wigan, Saints, something like them, they'll think it's goal time. And that's the difference. They forced us into two dropouts there, and it kind of changed the whole complex of the game. The second one, I think it was Nofaluma got stood up in the tackle and forced back, and it kind of turned into a rugby union mall a bit. But unfortunately, we just weren't able to sort of keep him out. But it's the first tackle, isn't it? And with Rowley ball, that first three tackles are so important. Wigan know that, so they'll ramp up in them first three tackles to try and either force us to do something we don't want to do or try and get the intensity into them. So it was, like you say, it was heartbreaking at that point, because you think to yourselves, one big set here, kick deep and squeeze, and it's on. But unfortunately, they know that as well, don't they? So that's why the top teams are the top teams, because they're able to shift the momentum in one tackle.
Yeah, and they've got big game players, aren't they? Mm. They know, they've been there. They've been they were in the World Cup Challenge a couple of weeks ago. That's as big as it's probably getting. And that's what, like you said, that's what good teams do. And Matty Pete would have said this to him about, they tried to drill it in them all week, about them first few tackles. Pin us down, get us in our own 20, make sure we can't get the ball, make sure we don't make any meters out of there. And then we'll struggle, because we're going to have to just boot it anyway. And they did it right in that last 5 minutes. They didn't do it for most of the game, to be fair. We had them, I think we had them on toes for most of the match, if I'm brutally honest. But it's just those little things that top teams do and don't do. They don't get pushed behind the line, but they do squeeze you in defence. And that's the difference. And that's why I'm not disappointed, because we're not there. We should know we're not there, but we're here and we're working to get there. But at the moment, Paul Rowley is starting from here again this season. Let's not forget that. So we're way ahead of where we should be. And I know we're not finished yet, but I was just so proud of the lads.
Yeah. So obviously, time's ticking on. 5 minutes to go. For me, we look gassed at that point.
Yeah, agreed.
So if we get forced behind the line for a dropout, Mark Snead thinks we'll go short. Unfortunately, a look at the ball, look at the bounce, it lands in Jake Wardle's hands and he strolls over from 5 metres, and it's heartbreak for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of points there. I'll go back to Snead in a minute. From the dropout, I've not watched the game back. I'm still hurting a little bit, and because I know the ending, I'm not sure what I watched it. But from what I remember, two players went for the same ball, two of our players.
Nofaluma.
If one of them goes for it, I think one of them might get it. Mm. But at least the other one's there to defend anything that comes of it.
Mm.
That's a mistake. Right? And I don't know whether it's rehearsed, whether it's talked about in training, I don't know how you would. I don't know how, at that point in the game, and the amount of times that Max Neen's done dropout, that he's drilled and gone out of play, and we've got the ball back.
Mm.
I'm thinking, is he thinking that? Just get it out of play. Let it bounce and get out of play. Because in them, it was raining, it was awful at the time. Whatever's going on. Now, for Mark Snead, by the way, who, like I said, was magnificent for the game, and this one error, people are talking about that, not the other 70-odd minutes where he was perfect. Also in defence, because his defence was hot as well. He's got that. He's got it wrong. He knows he's got it wrong. He knows now, with hindsight, that's not what he's doing. However, as I said directly after the game, if that comes off, he's a genius.
Hmm.
If he goes wrong, he's a fool. That's the fine line. And that's the way Salford play. We play with high-risk football. That's what we do. And it's working. He's had a look. he's thought, I've got two or three players on that side of the pitch. One being David Nofaluma, who's known for his catching of eyeballs, right? Except for that one he dropped. Anyway, the one in the second half.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he's known for doing that in the NRL. They'll kick to him, a bit like Henry Farfield at Warrington, that kind of thing. So he's had a look and thought, you know what? I'm backing my lads to get this.
Mm.
It didn't work. It went wrong. They score. Right? At that point, I know there's not long left. I understand that. But we've not lost the game. The game isn't over.
Mm.
There's still time. Not a lot, but there's still time to get the ball back. Let's try that. What follows is far more disappointing for me.
Well,
for the next one.
We'll come to that in a second.
Yeah.
But for me, Mark Snead knows we're gassed. And he's thinking that we need the ball back here. Because a lot of people say, kick deep and defend for like your lives depend on it. And we all know how it goes. They kick deep, they'll drive free, and then they'll go. Our defenders, are there enough gas in them to stop that? And I think he thought, no, we need the ball back here. And it's all about, we talked about momentum shifts, didn't we, before, about the dropouts.
Yeah.
And that's an attempt to bring the momentum back to us to get the ball back. And that's what top teams do. Yeah, we weren't able to deliver it on this occasion, but we had a goal. And I've seen the kickback, and I think it was Nofaluma went up, and so did McDonald, kind of half went up, and it kind of ricocheted off them both. It reminded me of was it Wakefield last year, where they went short and everybody jumped on it, and it bounced off a Wakefield man, and then we just picked up and scored. A bit like that last year. But like you say, it's high risk, but that's the way we play. That's what rowdy ball is, isn't it? Creating opportunity where there isn't one.
Yeah,
and that's unfortunate. The ball sometimes will bounce where we don't want it to bounce, and that's what's happened. But I'd rather us die trying than kick deep, squeeze, try and squeeze with everything you've got, and then they go over because that's what they do, and we're goosed. So I'd rather us die trying to win a game rather than not being able to hang on.
I agree. We've backed ourselves. We're confident we'll get this ball. But one of my brothers messaged me when it happened, and he said at the time, he said, there's no saying, like you're saying there, there's no saying we'd have kicked it long. We're going to have to just come through us anyway.
Yeah.
Jay Field, we know. We've seen it ourselves. He can get the ball in a broken field from Bevan French and players like that and do it anyway.
Mm.
So they might have caught the ball on the halfway line and just gone through us and scored. What? We don't know. You know, it's only because this has happened. There's no saying what could have happened. And like you say now, we were gassed. We were out on our feet at that point. We'd done more than asked, as far as I'm concerned, the other night. And it got to that point where, like you say, Sneed's had a look and thought, this is the best option.
Mm.
This is what I'm going for. Didn't work.
So, from kickoff, Salford then offside.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Wigan do what top teams do, take advantage and score the winner in the dying seconds. Disappointing that we were caught offside, really, because you just think it's one big effort, one more effort to get up there and try and force something. So to be pinged in that situation is a coach killer, really. Yeah. I think Paul Rowley probably just sank to his knees at that point, like most of us did in the stadium. But I don't know. This is a roller coaster ride watching Salford Devils, isn't it, Parker?
Yeah, it is. I mean, when it happened, I went, how have we been done for offside? The amount of time I watch this game, every single week from a kickoff, somebody is offside.
Mm.
I mean, Wellsby last week caught it in the last few minutes against us. He was offside. He was in front of the kicker when he kicked it from the kickoff.
Mm.
Didn't get picked up. But when you see ours, I mean, Amir Burra might as well have been in the Wigan line. We'd gone that far. But he just, like you're saying there, he was so keen to get up there. Let's have one big effort. Let's knock this ball out of there and make an error. Let's get the ball back. They wanted to win. They were going for it.
Yeah.
They've been caught. They've done it wrong. The timing's wrong. We've got it wrong. And then their last try is a stroll in. And that was disappointing. We didn't deserve that. We defended like heroes for most of the game.
Mm.
But again, it's them little things that you've just got to tighten up that big teams don't do. And if you are going to do it, don't get caught doing it.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say, though, Rob, right, and I said it all the way through the game, and the guys sat near me all around me, they all agreed, and one of my best mate. He's not someone who directs at referees. He's definitely not me. He's very independent, and even he spotted it all the way through the game. Wigan's defensive line was never onside. Mm. And we sat side on in the West End at that end, and they were in front of us. And two players in particular, Liam Farrell and Harry Smith, every time there was a tackle, they moved up 3 or 4 yards ahead of everybody else. And that not once did a linesman mention it or do it. What is the linesman's job? This is a question for everybody. What is the linesman's job other than sticking his flag up when the ball goes out of play? Because I remember years ago, if someone was offside, the linesman would shout them or shout the referee. And if there was an incident, he'd be on waving his flag like a madman, saying, I've seen this. It doesn't happen anymore.
No.
What is the linesman's job? Is he took there? Because the referee, for me, should be watching the play of the ball. There's too much going on to play the ball. He's holding on. There's someone trying to reef the ball. There's someone trying to play for a penalty. He can't see the defensive line. He's not got eyes in the side of his head. So that's what his linesmen should be doing. And they don't do that. Hmm. So a question, and I got asked this in the pub the other day, and I fully agree. What do the linesmen do these days? What is their job?
I do agree with you there, but I also think that professional rugby league clubs, so much analysis, so much video content for them to look through and analyse. That goes with referees as well. So they know certain referees don't look a certain way. So they'll know that players on this side of the field can nick a few yards because he's never going to look there. And that's what happens. And Wigan, like you say, a top team. Every stone is turned over when it comes to preparation. So that's the way it is. Talk about Amir Burra. I spoke to him after the game. He comes to it on a pop up, and you could generally hear he sounded like he was about to cry when I spoke to him, and I was a bit like, don't take it to heart. You're outstanding this year, but yeah, he showed like another performance from him that he's growing into this role as our first choice hooker.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock Amir. I think he's been superb again. And obviously it's his old club. He probably got a point to prove that. Why did you let me go? This is how good I am. And he's proven it. I mean, his defensive work is superb. He reminds me of our late leader, Mal Galka, in that way. He's in everything. He's just so spirited. You know what I mean? I said it last week, then the week before. As soon as it kicks off on the pitch, he's the first one in there. He's not scared of anyone. He's up for it. He's a proper little nuisance. And I love that. I love that in hooker. That's exactly what you want. He gets to every play the ball. His distribution is brilliant. He gets us on the front foot when he gives that ball out. So, again, I'm not having to go with... I mean, if I'm not having to go with any of the players this week, you can't. The last 2-3 weeks, they've been nothing but brilliant. We're just unlucky. And we got beat by the best team in the world. I mean, if that's a bad thing, then we might as well pack up now. But that performance on Thursday night beats 80% of the Super League.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And if we can put that up every week and that spirit and get more bodies back on the pitch, we're a dangerous team. We're back, as far as I can see, to maybe not 2019. I'm not getting that giddy, but certainly the semi-final the other year, that run again. I think we can do that. Yeah. I really do. Keep bodies on the pitch.
Talking about 2019, Gil Dudson made his second debut for Salford. Great performance from him. Solid. Like I say, we've got a few injuries. Brad Singleton's out sort of long term, so he's come in and did a job, and that's the important thing. He's got experience since his departure, his arrival back now, brings something to the squad and to the team.
Yeah, because he only arrived 2 days before or something like that. He wouldn't have trained much with the team. He wouldn't know the patterns, the work, and that kind of stuff. I thought he had a great game. I thought he's hardly played for the last few months. He looked on top of his game. And I mean, I like Gil the first time round. I did, and I'll tell you, I don't know if I can tell you about chairperson or Pop Mr. King and what he told me about Gil Dudson, but he did say, without Gil Dudson and the likes of Gil Dudson, we don't make the grand final in 2019.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Because what him and Lee Mossop did that year was, and obviously Flanagan and McCarthy, them kind of players, the experience they brought and everything, they led us to them final. I mean, Jacko gets the plaudits, of course he does, but it's people like that got us there. And I watched him the other night, and he looked like he'd never been away.
Mm.
And I've always said it. I've probably said it on here. I say it all the time to me, brother. Certain players fit certain clubs.
Yeah.
And Gil Dudson should have never left Salford. Mm. Never. Same with Josh Jones. He should have never left Salford. People had, they just seem to find a home, and it works.
Yeah.
And then they go off. And I mean, I'll say the same about like Benny Murdoch Nasilla. I don't think he was the same player at Warrington that he was at Salford. I really don't, even though he was still great. And I think that's the same with Gil. And I was delighted to see him back. And he had a great second debut. Ran hard, tackled hard. And again, like I say, missing 3-4 other props. Him and King, and obviously, like I say, Andy Dixon, who I thought had a great game, really stood up and against a massive Wigan pack. I mean, Wigan were bringing players off the bench bigger than anything we've got in our squad, but it was just incredible. Every time you brought a sub on, you were like, oh my God, where have they got this one from now? Mago and people like that. They had Luke Thompson in the team who'd just come back from the NRL. Just different gravy, these players. And our lad stood up, and Gil Dudson was just another shining example of it.
So let's talk stats now. Team-wise, Salford's possession stats were 56%. Wigan's were 44%. We completed at 66%. They completed at 87%. Mm. Post contact meters, we made 655 meters. They made 607 meters. Tackle bursts, we did 23. They did 27. We had 201 carries. They had 171 carries. We made 1,096 meters. They made 1,190 meters. Errors, we made 11. They made 12. And missed tackles, we made 27 and they made 33.
I'm a bit surprised about the completion stats. We've been completing about 80-odd% this year, 60-odd, and yet, but we made less errors than they did.
Yeah, 11 errors to 12 errors. We missed more. No, they missed more tackles, 27 to 33, but they made 100 meters more than we did, which is a bit weird.
Doesn't seem to.
In less carries as well, because we did 25 more carries, but made 100 meters less, which is strange.
I think, well, we did spend a lot of time on their line, so we only had like 10,
yeah,
20 meters. They had a lot further to come out, and they did make quite a few meters, but we didn't, certainly in the first half.
Mm.
I'm just surprised at that. 60-odd% seems very low.
Mm. That's what it says.
Did we drop the ball that much or anything like that? Or, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
But.
I do get the stats from the Super League website, and the quite annoying thing is every time Salford score, they don't put who scored for Salford. They just put Salford try. So if anyone's listening who does the Super League website, just put the Salford score on there. Makes everyone's life a bit easier.
Yeah, I'd certainly question that 60-odd% though, because I know the weather was bad and everything, but we didn't. I don't think we made that many. I mean, we did make a few, and we were sometimes our own worst enemy, but I don't know. Just didn't seem right, that. I'm very surprised at that, but that's what it says. That's what it says.
Mm. Individuals, top tacklers, Amir Burra, 42. Stan Stone, 32. Callum Watkins, 42. Shane Wright, 35. Joe Shorrocks, 32.
Two players doing in the 40s. Mm. That's incredible. I mean, I don't need to mention Cal Watkins, do I? Everybody knows what I think of him. And again, same with Amir. He's been super. Like I said before, he's in every tackle again. He loves getting stuck in. And that's his job in the middle of the park. That's what hookers generally do. But it doesn't seem to take any gas out of his tank.
Mm.
And considering he's not been well, that's an unbelievable effort. But yeah, a lot of really good efforts. I mean, what I will say about Shorrocks, he said he did 30-odd tackles.
Yep.
32. I think 30 of them were bone crushers.
Yeah.
He does hit and hit hard. He is some player. Every time he hits someone, you sort of go, oof.
Yeah.
But glad that's not me.
He's also good with the ball in his hand. He's not just a battering ram. You give him the extra pivot in the line. Ever since I told him he played like Sam Panapa, he started playing like a world-class loose forward. So.
Well, that's the thing. I know there's a lot of talk about Ollie Partington moving on and that sort of thing, which... it would be a blow, but we've already got his replacement in that way, and he's in the same team as him. But can you have them both in the team? Because Ollie can go prop as well at times if you need it. So you had them two on the pitch. Ball handling forwards these days are rare.
Mm.
We'd have two really good ones. But like you say, Shorrocks, I've been nothing but impressed with him every single week. I know Matty P had good words for him, didn't he, before the game? He did an interview and he said he didn't really want to let him go, but he can't have everybody. I think there's other players in that Wigan squad that'll let go before Shorrocks, I'll be honest with you. But I think Paul Rowley has got a gem to work with. He's still only young. So fingers crossed we can keep everybody's else's hands off him. We've got a belter.
Yep. Other stats, meters, Neil McDonald 162, Tim Laffey 119, King V 91, Shane Wright 66, and Rick 63.
Two centres in the hundreds again.
Yeah.
You have to look back each week and see, because I think McDonald's probably been in the hundreds every week in the last 5 weeks. I mean, he's brilliant. You know, we said it before, that was one of our major problems, was making meters. Now we've got two players there to lead him up. I think Nofaluma will do that when he's fully fit. I think he'll be in there doing it. And then with the extra prop we've brought in, if we can get players fit, the other props, because he won't do as much work, we'll have more energy to make them, like you said before about the post-contact meters and that sort of thing. It'll work in our favour. They're really good. Really good stats. Really good.
Yeah. So, average gains, Neil McDonald 7, Dion Cross 7, King V 7, Andrew Dixon 8. So, yeah, it was 7 and above. Happy days.
And we, like you say, we're playing the world champions, one of the best defensive teams around. That's probably as good as anyone's going to get, because you're not going to get much change out of Wigan. Nobody is. I said it last week. I said it at the start of the year. They're my favourites to basically win everything this year. I just look at the squad, not just the 17 they had out the other night. It's what's behind that. And we've made them work, and we've punched holes in them at times. So, yeah, there's a lot. Like I said, we came away from the game defeated, but there's a lot to be feeling a bit victorious about as far as I'm concerned.
Matty Foster, 8 as well. I think he looked okay when he came on. Some good runs.
The thing is, Matty Foster was a good kid coming through at Saints. He was one of them that they've got now with that Delaney and people like that at Saints. He was one of them, but he had a couple of bad injuries, and that's just held him back. And probably he might feel he's got a point to prove, but he's a really talented player. I think he could be one of them that goes under the radar a little bit, and he'll get more experience this year. And I think the thing is, for players like that coming to Salford, you are going to play. You're not going to rot in the reserves, because we can. You're going to get game time. You're going to improve. And if you can get over all these injuries and stay fully fit, he's going to be a good player. He really is. I think he could be sort of a ready-made replacement for maybe Cal when he hangs up his boots. Slot back in that second row there. So, yeah, I like him. And I remember when we signed him, I was a bit like, I remember his name. We haven't seen his name. And then, it dawned on me. I thought, he's got a big future, I think.
Yeah, come back from big injuries. But like I say, opportunity club gives opportunity. Yeah. And he's willing to take that opportunity. He spoke to me after the game. He just wants to play. He just says, I don't care where to play. I just want to play. And I was like, you'll do for me playing like that today. So I say, we'll see what happens.
He wants to be careful. He could end up like Chris Atkin in that case. He'll be playing standoff next week.
Yeah. Big thanks for your three-word match reports, Man of the Matches. I said, continue being brave, Sneed. Natalie Taylor, best team lost, Stone. Dave Parker, another fantastic performance. Amir Burrow, you said, one Kostler error, Sneed. Gareth Lyons, why kick short? We talked about that. Colin Wilson, fantastic effort, Reds, Shorrocks. Paul, kick it long, Shorrocks. Paul, Whiteside's mate, Roy Ellaby, best team lost, Shorrocks. Paul Whiteside, another huge effort, Stone or Shorrocks. He's breaking all the rules, Paul Whiteside, here having two. Andy Lancashire, cruel 3 minutes, Sneed. Richard Morton, 4 minutes short, Shorrocks. Chairman Bob, Dom Fox, moment, all of them for Man of the Match. Ben Wheeler, gutted for them all, King. David Deacon, scoreline, flattered Wigan, Shorrocks. CR, chucks it away, Shorrocks. Chris and Janet Shenton, best team lost, Sneed. R. Richmond, the Salford way, King. George Crompton, always a red. And Paul Howe, so close, King V. So, yeah, a mixture of players there getting out of the match shows that the team perform really well.
Yeah, I looked through the things before the Man of the Match thing, and it was tough. I mean, I gave it Sneedy because I thought he was brilliant, but I could have easily given it Shorrocks. I could have given it King. I could have given it Stone for some of the work he did. But and that's the great thing when it's shared about like that. Different people see different things in different players, and again, like I say, and I say it all the time, nobody votes for Callum Watkins.
Mm.
Doesn't do a thing wrong, plays 80 minutes and tackles everything, makes breaks, gets the ball out. Yeah. We don't even have to mention him. That's how, I mean, Ryan Briley, this time last year, was running away with Man of the Match awards. He's not got a point this year.
Mm.
Plus, he's not done a thing wrong. He's kind of, that's the good thing, that so many players just putting their head up and their hand up and fans, people are seeing it. So just an update on that, by the way, the Man of the Match thing. I've had a quick look after five rounds.
Oh, yeah.
Steedy is in the lead.
Oh.
But only just over Shorrocks.
Okay.
And Nene's in third. Uh-huh. At the moment, but only five rounds in, but it's pretty close. But a lot of players are getting a lot of votes.
Mm.
You know, it's good like that. So yeah, just I had a look earlier on. I just thought I'd better check and catch up, make sure I'm up to date, because it's a nightmare when you get behind with that.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, by the way, to Bob, if you're listening, Bob, I think I owe you a drink. I'm not going to get a chance to say anything last week after Saints. He told me many years ago, we sat on a bench somewhere in Eccles or something, not like alcoholics, not drunk, about us beating Saints away. And he came to me last week and he said, we'll beat these tonight. And I thought the man was mad.
Hmm.
And he proved me wrong. So I'll get you a drink next time I see you, Bob.
That's why he's the chairman, comes up with big statements like that and delivers.
Absolutely.
Mm. So big thanks for all your three word man of the match awards. We'll move on to the ladies now. They were in Challenge Cup action against Wigan on the community pitches. Unfortunately, went down to defeat 68 points to nil. Parker, 68 points to nil. When you don't actually watch the match, you think we got absolutely wrecked there. But for me, they put a massive amount of effort in there. Wigan Warriors ladies and full time. But they're trying to be. They've invested heavily in the sort of the back room of the club and also in the playing side as well, brought in Dennis Betts, and you could tell. And it can't fault them for effort and commitment to the cause. But unfortunately, like you say, when you look at the scoreboard, it does look like we got battered.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're looking at Wigan, their women's team, and what they have to offer is clearly light years away from where we are.
Hmm.
You look at the facilities, they'll have the training facilities and everything else. They'll have the men's team, they'll have the best of everything. We're not at that level. We don't have our own training ground. We don't have the facilities they have. We don't have... They'll probably have a team of like you were saying about the men's team, I mean, analysts doing this, that and the other. The ladies' team will have the same thing.
Hmm.
We're talking the pinnacle here when we talk about Wigan. And we've got a long way to go. We've gone backwards in terms of where we were, through no fault of our own, really, and losing players that we've lost. One, obviously, Brogan, who played for Wigan this weekend. Great. She played internationally for Wales last year. She was our player, and then she's got the opportunity to go to Wigan. Why not? You know, do it, absolutely. And they can do that. They can draw these players in. We're starting again with a new bunch of girls, trying to get to know the game. Some of these girls are probably playing first time or come from wherever. And it is going to take a while. So we can't gauge ourselves against Wigan. That's not where we're at. We're not in the same league, literally not in the same league as them. It's what we do with the teams around us and how we improve and what we learn from these kind of defeats. And we've got to look at what Wigan did on the weekend and pick out what bits we can do about that and what we can take from them and just get better. Like you said, the scorelines, it's disappointing. I've been there with a men's team. We know what it's like. It's not good. It doesn't look good. Like you say, you read it in the paper the next day and it's a hammering. But that's what's going to happen at that level, because there are levels, big levels. But we've just got to learn from it and move on.
Yeah. What made me sad was on the club's Facebook page when they announced the score, sort of fans just having a go, saying, oh, what's the point? Jack it in now. And I was thinking to myself, what's going on here? I mean, these ladies representing the shirt, giving everything to the cause, have come up against a stellar team, and some fans just want to get on the backs about it. I understand frustrations, I get that. And if it was the men's team and it was Paul Rowley, I understand why people might lose their minds. But this ladies' team is a bonus, isn't it? We didn't have them 3 years ago. And we've had some couple of great years. We're rebuilding now. And it's all part of the process, all part of the learning journey that they're on, Parker.
I can't get some people's mentality. Did our first team, a full-time professional first team, not concede 96 ones?
Yeah.
Did they concede 80-odd at Hull? Mm. Did we not concede 70 off Castleford? Do you know what I mean? What planet are these people? These girls do it for nothing. They're not getting paid for this. It's their own time, their own effort, their own energy they're putting in to represent us. And if you know any females who could, you think can do better, have a word. But don't. What do you get out of that? What does that possibly do for anybody, being critical like that? I mean, were these people at the game? That'd be interesting to know. Did they watch it? Did they go down and have a look and see the difference in what we're going to have got to offer to what we've got to offer? I don't understand. So next time the men's team get hammered, I hope they say the same thing. I hope they say, oh, you might as well pack up, scrap it, forget it. Let's see, you know, they won't. It's not going to happen. So I don't understand what people are thinking. I really don't. Just support them. And if you don't want to support them, you don't want to watch the women's team, you don't want to watch the men's team, you don't watch any of the disability teams, don't. Mm. Don't comment on it. If you've got nothing good to say, don't say anything. You're not even being like critical in a way of offering advice.
Mm.
Just being abusive. There's no need for it. What is wrong with society? Just let it go. The women got beat. Right. Has it affected your life? Has it really upset you that much? You've got to have a dig at them. Because if it has, you've probably not got much going on in your life. That's what I will say.
Yeah, it was terrible. I thought I watched it back on RDTV. Completed better. We talked last week, didn't we, about completion rates?
Yeah.
And it was low this time, better. And we completed in an aggressive way. We got to the kick. Demi Jones put a few spiralling bombs up. Chances were created off it. But like you say, you're playing against Wigan Warriors here who are trying to get full time. And that investment is there. And you could tell they were just sort of bigger and faster and stronger. They'd go to the line and they'd ping it at the line and they'd have a big forward who'd come crashing through the line. And our defence had kind of come in on itself to try and stop the break. And then, because obviously when you get that kind of time to train, you've got runners everywhere because everyone knows the role, don't they? Just like a professional when you see the likes of Sofa when the break is made. There's four or five sort of players in support, and it was a bit like that, and you could tell that they were at a level. So yeah, obviously support was there, and they went in and they scored a few tries like that. But I'm not gonna sort of say, well, where's the defence? Why are we not knocking them down? Because it's just one of them. You can't defend against that, really. But effort was there, commitment was there to the cause, and it's pride as well. They kept going, and that as a supporter, that's all that matters, really. You showing pride up with a shirt that whatever the score ends up, doesn't matter. You've done what you can for us.
Absolutely. I think if that scoreline happens against somebody in the league this year, someone who's in and around us, then you get worried. We're not at Wigan's level by any stretch of the imagination. York, Saints, Leeds, Wigan, even Warrington this year, who've signed a number of our players, would be streets ahead. I mean, Wigan last year beat us quite convincingly, I think, in the cup. So we've got less of a team, I would suggest, this year than we had last year. Wigan are probably stronger. That's what happens. The gap's bigger. But it's what we do in the league this year that counts. This is a bonus Challenge Cup stuff. It's not, let's be realistic, we're not going to win it. So it's game experience, having a go. And sometimes it's an old cliche, isn't it? You learn more in defeat than you do in victory. So hopefully we've learned something. We've got more to work on. They'll analyse videos. And the girls will be back, hopefully, fighting again this week.
Yeah, we did have chances. Jadine McVernon on the edge, striking up a good partnership with Emily Webb, who's a winger. They had a couple of opportunities. Like I said, Demi Jones trying to pull strings, putting bombs up. Alex Simpson had a couple of opportunities as well. But like you say, the effort was there. And you can't fault them for the effort. We just come up against a Wigan side who, he played some great stuff, and as well, didn't rain either. Well, we've had a few weeks of torrential rain and a lot of mud, and it's a good leveller, isn't it, in certain games, you think. Could really have done with whoever was doing all the rain dancing, do a little bit of rain dancing on in the morning. Fortunately, must have gone to church or something and not bothered.
Yeah, and like you said about the heart and stuff like that, like I said about the men's team, some point this year we might get an absolute hammering.
Hmm.
But it won't be through lack of effort or anything like that. And that's the only thing you can ask for. You know, sometimes you will meet a better team. Simple as that. There's nothing you can do about that. It happens at every level of every sport, and you are going to get a bit of a kicking. It's how you react from that and how we come back now. And I just hope the girls have sort of dust themselves down and don't take it, don't even take it to heart, just ignore it. That's gone. Let's move on now and focus on the next game. And they might lose again. They might. But it's how we learn now as a new team coming together. And it's the league that's more important now. Let's get a foothold and try and get back to where we were and where we belong.
Yeah. So let's move on to the wheelchair team. They were in action. North Wales Crusaders away went down to defeat 42 points to 17. Two tries from Ball, one try from Abel. Goal by Abel, drop goal by Abel. Obviously, team in development, like we said before. We know North Wales Crusaders are a good side. They've got a first team and an A team. So that tells you where they are in their development. So to go down there, I think it was kind of an open day thing. And we were invited to go down and play, which kind of shows that they've seen us and think, you know what, come down and give us a game. And it's obviously, defeat is a defeat, but I'm sure they would have learned a lot playing against a high-calibre team like North West Crusaders.
Yeah, like we were saying off air, weren't we, earlier on about the Crusaders. They've got their first team, I think he's full of the Welsh Wheelchair Rugby League teams. We're talking levels. Don't remember, our guys have just come together as a group of people initially for enjoyment, when I'm going to go and representing the club, getting to wear a club shirt. And I mean, them shirts are smart, by the way, the wheelchair team. They've seen them. Like the old East had one.
Yeah.
A little bit Lee Moss up testimonial, that sort of thing. They're really good. They're really smart. I quite like them. But anyway, yeah. And they're just learning. And the competitive element is something that will come. But we're scoring points. I don't think in the first game we played, we scored any, did we? Or something like that. We didn't play up in York or something. But it's about, again, this is more about having fun at the moment and getting a team together and then getting people involved and having a go. And if anyone wants to criticise the wheelchair team, by the way, I mean, A, don't. I know some of them. You don't want to do that. Dangerous people. But B, give it a go.
Yeah.
Have a critic. You know what I mean? Then you can have a go at people, because we've said it before, it's absolutely mental. It is. It's just a stupid sport played by crazy people.
Yeah.
More so than the actual able-bodied game. It's just ridiculous. And, of course, you don't have to be wheelchair-bound to play the sport. Go, get down and have a crack. I'm sure it's a good laugh, and that's what these people are doing at the moment. They're enjoying themselves and representing us at the same point. So, yeah, I'd like to see more fixtures. And, obviously, I want to see some a bit close to home again. I think there's something coming up in Manchester eventually, and that'd be good to go and watch. And we can all get down and have a look at that. Probably won't be getting involved too much, but yeah, it looks brilliant. Just delighted for them that they're getting invited to these places. So they're being recognised for what they do, and it's a chance again. If you know somebody who is in a wheelchair or would like to have a crack, to open it up again to the community, what does Salford do for Salford? I mean, we just don't bang the drum loud enough. Have a word, get your friends down and have a go.
Yeah. So unlucky, like you say, keep developing and we'll see where it ends up. Like you say, they talk about, I think it's a Challenge Trophy. I think it's in April. So that's something to look forward to. I'm sure they're playing games in preparation for that. And I think if you win the Challenge Trophy, you get put into the Challenge Cup then.
Right.
The winner and the runner up, I think, go in. So that'll be interesting. Like I say, if we can sneak into that. You never know. Yeah. You never know. So that's all the matches this week. And now we'll see what's happening in the world of Salford Devils.
Devil in Detail News.
So we'll start with Salford Devils' Gil Dudson back in the house. Big Gil, obviously, like I say, part of our Grand Final team and Challenge Cup team, come back from Warrington. Via Catalan, like you said before, should never have left for me. But it's good. Obviously, we've got a few players with injuries, haven't we? And as he said on the podcast, he just wants to play as well, and he'll see where the chips land at the end of the season. But he'll certainly add something to that front row.
Yeah, well, certainly a lot of size. I'll say that we lack. But I mean, if we get Singo back with him, King, straight away, you're looking at three big props. So you've got Jack Ormond to come back in, and we look a different. I wrote it down on paper. I looked at the squad when it's fully fit, and I was like, that's pretty tasty.
Mm.
You've got players coming off the bench there who are going to make an impact, who are going to make a difference to a game. There's going to be players there and you're going, how can I not put him in? But I can't put him in because I can't fit him in. He's going to get like that, hopefully, at some point during the season. But yeah, delighted to have Gil back. He's one of them. I mean, we'll never forget that, the semi-final at Wigan. That's not, I think, it's etched in every Salford fan's memory. He scored a try and set one up that day, which obviously helped us get there. But he was, I'll be honest, when we signed him the first time, was I impressed? No. I was thinking, Gil Dodson? What's he done? Everywhere he's been, he came to us an absolute revelation for those years. I think he played, he went to the cup final as well, didn't he? Yeah. I think he was still with us then. So he's played in two big finals for Salford. Not many players ever do that.
Mm.
But yeah, so I was delighted to see him back, and his debut again, second debut, was superb. I think he'll add a lot of experience to the pack, and probably a bit of leadership as well, and take a bit of pressure off those other players. So yeah, great work. I know when we had Paul King on, he said we're looking for a prop, we're trying to find one, but he's got to be the right one. He's got to be the right fit for Salford. He's got to be the right fit for Paul Rowley, because he won't have bad apples. He has to know the player and know what they're about. And so we spent some time with him in 2019 and 2020, so he knows of Gil. And we could have gone out and got anyone, really, I suppose, in that it could have just been a... But I think as soon as everybody heard, we all went, yeah, that makes sense. That's a good signing. I read some of the Warrington fans' comments, and I think it's safe to say he probably won't go back to Warrington at any point. they weren't overly enthusiastic about him. Doesn't work so everywhere you go, does it? I think he was all right for Catalan. I don't think he was. I think he did okay there. And they got to grand finals, two grand finals, didn't they? I think around that period. So obviously played a part there. So yeah, great to have him back. And I just hope he stays fit. And maybe he might be a good luck omen.
Yeah, like you said before, some players are just made for clubs, aren't they? And I just think Gil Dodson is for us. So,
and there's another one that we'll probably face on Friday night in Nye Levels.
Yeah.
He went to Cass, didn't work. I know he got injuries, but he never looked comfortable. Okay, he's playing on the wing. He's probably gonna. He might be full back this week, but I don't know. I mean, we got Ryan Briley, so we're not complaining, but. Who knows what could have been? Niall had stayed at Salford. I think he was one of them that fitted. So, Gil, he's definitely in that bracket.
Yeah, or coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
One of them. Other news, girls' development programme is going to take place on the 5th of April and the 8th of April. 5th of April for Year 7, Year 8 and Year 9s. 8th of April for Year 10 and Year 11s. We're going to be playing Cadizard Rhinos. We're going to play in Oldham, against Oldham, I think, on the... I'm going to write it down here, 10th of April, I think it is. Obviously, the club have got a little poster with Taz Kakurin on it, so you can see that on their socials, on the foundation socials as well, if you've got, obviously, a young girl who wants to get into to rugby league, opportunity to do that.
Well, then our next ladies team.
Mm.
Some of these players, we want homegrown players, don't we? That, we want them at every level, you know, men's team, women's team, everywhere. That's what we want, and we've got to get these girls involved. I think rugby league's one of those sports that is very inclusive. I think we've always been pretty good at that. And I said it the other week, though, about from when I first started watching to now, the amount of girls and ladies that are watching the sport and playing the sport is incredible. So, yeah, it's great that we're doing this, giving the girls a chance. And hopefully, even if only a small handful carry on with it and go and join an amateur club, get involved in a few years' time, we might see them in a red shirt.
Yeah, so basically training on the 5th of April at Cadizard Rhinos, and then on the 8th of April, you've got a game, but they haven't confirmed who they're playing. So that'll be obviously nearer the time. So opportunity, like I say, it's all about producing a pathway in it. And these girls that are coming in, inspired by the ladies that are playing now, will want to hopefully join the club and follow in their footsteps. So good luck to them. And other news, Rising Stars start 2nd of April and the 3rd of April. They will play Oldham on the 10th of April. So that's another good opportunity.
Yeah, I have to look that one up, 10th of April. That's quite... It rings a bell for some reason. Yeah, again, and it's not just... We want to get these kids involved. We want them to become players. We want whether they make it professional at any point, irrelevant, really. they've got to enjoy the game. But I noticed on Friday night again, the groups of kids in the East Stand, they made a right racket. It was brilliant to hear them when they were chanting and singing. That's the other side of it. We get kids involved, whether they take the sport up or whether they just want to come and watch. It's not for everybody. But the club do an amazing amount of stuff to get people involved. And yeah, that'd be interesting to see what they do with that. I won't mind finding out more about that on the 10th and see where it's doing, what they're doing, where it's taking place.
Yeah.
Might be worth popping down.
Other news, walking rugby is now Wednesday at Eccles College. Obviously, a few pictures on social media of them all doing the stuff. It seems to be growing in popularity, Parker.
Yeah, well, I did say I was going to give it a crack at some point when I'm fit enough. Wednesdays, that's a bit of a blow for us. Podcast night,
yeah,
generally, except for the odd occasion when it's a Tuesday. But, yeah, not an excuse. Sounds like one. But, yeah, no, again, it's just another way of branching out, isn't it, and making it available to everybody. I certainly haven't got it in me at the moment to go charging around a pitch. So that it does seem the pace of it might suit me, although I do believe it is still quite physically demanding, I've been told. So, yeah, it's something you can get involved in at all levels, then, isn't it? You don't need to be, you don't need to be Ellery Hanley, do you, to play that. Just get involved. Same with Masters Rugby and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Hopefully we'll get a free night. The weather's decent. I will pop down. That's not just a threat. That's a promise. Okay. I will come down.
I'll say the same to the foundation that I say to BBC Radio Manchester about Paul Whiteside. I'm going to demand a finder's fee if they steal you. So
I think where my place is, definitely.
So get yourselves down there. Like, fantastic opportunity to keep fit obviously great social aspect as well. Yeah. So it's fantastic. Like I say, we talk about how good the foundation are and they do lots of great things in the community, and that's sort of one sort of string in the bow, the rugby side of it, helping in the community, all kinds of different stuff that they do. It's like Paul King said, they don't shout loud enough, and people like us on this podcast, we can sort of get a fog on behind that and let everybody know what's going on.
Yeah, I think one of the key ones is that the council now know what they do in terms of, because obviously the council made a commitment in many ways now to the club, to the stadium and everything. And I think part of that has come through what these people do in the community. It's not about 17 blokes turning up on a Friday or a Sunday playing rugby. It's about what else is on offer, the educational side of things that they're offered. And all these things you've just mentioned there, we've gone through the girls, the boys, and then you've got the wheelchair and the disability teams and the walking rugby and everything aside from that. It's brilliant what they do for such a small team of people. They're so dedicated, so hardworking. It's all right for us to say. They really need to get out there with a brass band and tell everybody what they do, because it's pretty phenomenal, to be honest.
Yeah. So other bits of news, Parker. There's a sponsored walk. They call it Walk for Hope 2024 on the 30th of March. They're starting at Lee Sports Village and ending at the Salford Community Stadium. 10 miles. They're supporting people who have MND. Obviously, charities like that make a big difference to people's lives, and people have set up this charity walk to raise money to help, obviously, maybe get a cure or make people's sort of lives better.
Yeah, brilliant. I know James Hoskinson's one of the key guys on that, and James, obviously, a massive red. We all know James, and it's great credit to him for doing that. It's a big commitment on a game day as well, isn't it? I think you're going to walk to the game, and I'm out of breath thinking about it, to be honest with you. He's a lot fitter than I am, clearly. But no, brilliant. On MND, it's been sort of underfunded for many years, and we see what Kev Sinfield's done for that charity and other people. And you only have to look at Rob Burrow and what it's done to him and his life, and you can't help but be moved by it and realise that it's one of these silent ones that nobody really knew about until recently, really. And the devastation it causes. And these people now going out raising some money to help people. Brilliant. Such selfless things like that. I mean, I always feel sad when I hear people doing things for charity in that way, that in a society like this, we probably shouldn't have to. In a country this rich, why on earth are we doing this? But it just shows the imbalance in what we've got. But yeah, good luck to James and all the guys taking part in that. And I'll certainly be chipping in.
Yeah. So like you say, support them. We'll probably have a bucket collection as they're walking around. Like you say, great cause. And people who have that need help and they need support. And you have to be sort of grateful for what you've got when you hear about other people who have these illnesses. And I just hope, like you say, they're able to raise some money to make people's lives better. So that's all the news, Parky, and we'll move on to the big matches this week.
It's time for the Devil of the Details.
So we'll start with Red Devils Development Academy. They're in grand final action on Wednesday. They face Castleford Tigers at Lee Minor Rangers. Fantastic win against Warrington last week. Unfortunately, went down to defeat against Casper Tigers in the grand final, going down 36 points to 8. Obviously, they've had a fantastic season, finishing top of the table. Unfortunately, Parker defeated in the grand final, but no, what a great season. I'm sure they'll learn lots and help that. That'll help the development going forward.
Well, yeah, sadly, it's ended in defeat for the boys. Today in the final, but you know, an absolutely valiant effort. We can't fault them for anything they've done to get this far, and you know, it's just fallen at the final hurdle. But you know, fantastic effort to make the final, and you know, let's hope now that the lads can kick on and carry on at what we're doing, and produce more, you know, displays like they have done already. And who knows, you know, this time next year it could be our year. But you know, well done to the lads for making a final. We're all obviously all Salford fans, and we're all extremely proud of what they've done, and the, you know, kudos to them.
Again, one of our major things and people have complained about for years is that youth in Salford, we don't produce enough players. People say, what does Salford offer to rugby league? And then you look at this. It's been a great run. They beat some really good teams, and to get where they've got, some places have, you know, proper rugby league heritage where football isn't the king, and we've beaten these teams, Warrington obviously, like you say, being one of them. So they've done brilliantly to get to the final, but doesn't end there, does it? This is just the start now. So
yeah, and it kind of shows, like you say, Paul Rowley often talks about not having a full-time academy, but what we have seems to be working. Obviously, getting to a final is a big achievement any level. These lads will remember this moment probably forever. They won't. Not every one of them will go on to be a professional Super League player and getting the opportunity to play in a grand final or a Challenge Cup final. So some of them, this will be the moment they look back on in 5, 10, 15, 20 years' time and talk about it. Like I remember when I was 11 and I scored 2 goals in a cup final for my primary school, and I still remember it now. Should have had a hat trick, really. Skimmed off my head, unfortunately. But one of them. Can't dwell on that. But I still remember it now.
Yeah.
So that, them lads will probably have the same kind of thing in this.
My thing is, and I would love to question the RFL about, we haven't got an academy. Well, what happens to these lads now? There might be some real talent in that, but we've got no, there's no way we can push that on at this level yet, because they're probably too young for reserve realistically to take that step. But there's no academy. What do we do with them? Just lose them? How do we now? I know lads even now who are still being signed from Salford Roosters and from Fawley and going to Warrington, Wigan and Saint. They're getting signed up by these other clubs. That's not fair. How are we supposed to have a future? How are we supposed to get a structure? How are we supposed to have our players coming through? We need an academy. I don't understand an objection. I don't know why we can't have one. There must be something missing in my head that doesn't let this equate as to why you would stop a club having an academy and trying to develop its own talent. What purpose does it serve? Am I missing the point? Maybe I am. Maybe I'm just on a rant and I don't know what I'm talking about, but it seems counterintuitive not to allow a team to have an academy. And this is where these lads now from the college team would be looking. We'd be getting them in, giving them a bit more than the next step of professional training, get them involved. And then we can teach maybe a Paul Rowley way from academy, reserves, first team. And then you can go straight through. The talent's out there. We know we've produced talent in the past. The amount of lads that are knocking about in rugby league now that have come through Salford or have retired, the likes of Adrian Marley, obviously, but a lot of really good players have come through the city but haven't managed to play for Salford during the prime because we've not been able to offer them that. And the bigger clubs have come in. Well, that can stop. Just give us an academy. We're proving now that we can produce players. We just need that pathway now.
Our ladies are in Challenge Cup action. They play Cardiff Demons away on the 23rd. Cardiff Demons are a good side. Double Super League South winners. We did run them close last year at home, lost 12 points to 8. Like you say, I think they won the first game against Barra. So they'll be confident going into it. But like we said before, we'll just dust the Wigan defeat off and we'll go again against the Demons.
Yeah, it'll be tough again. I think, again, a lot of these players have played internationally as well, these Cardiff players. I think a lot of them have played professionally at Rugby Union, strangely, as well, which is not going to be easy. But, yeah, look, you've just got to go and give it what they can. There's no real pressure on them. No one's expecting them to go and win the Challenge Cup. Why would we? It's just craziness. Just go and learn again, have another go. And you don't know. On your day, anyone can upset anyone. That's the beauty of sport. Only takes a red card or something like that, and the other team are down at 12, and who knows? So, yeah, I just wish the girls all the best. Just give it another crack. Keep your heads up. Forget last week. Gone. Nothing you can do about that. Been and gone. You got beaten by a better team. Let's go again this week. Let's have another go. And let's learn and let's get better. And it's not going to be easy, especially going away. It's not going to be a short journey, is it? But you know, let's just accept the fact that we've got this ladies' team. We're privileged to have them giving up their time to represent us. And just I wish them all the best for the weekend.
Yeah, so good luck, ladies, against Cardiff. Paul Rowley's men are also in Challenge Cup action. They travelled Hull Kingston Rovers on Friday night. Obviously, a lot of injuries. Paul Rowley wasn't getting drawn on what this week was going to do with Paul. He was like, we're going to rest. And then on a couple of days before, we'll see what we've got, basically. And I understand, obviously, Challenge Cup is a big thing in it. And we'd love to be able to get to a Challenge Cup final. But the way things are at the moment with the squad injuries and stuff, is it a free hit? Do you see it? I see it as a free hit, me. I just think to myself, whatever happens at Hull Kingston Rovers, if we get beat, then we're out of the cup and we'll have a couple of weeks rest every couple of weeks to recharge batteries. If we win, because don't forget, with a concussion.
Lewis.
That's him. Yeah, Mickey Lewis. He's out with a concussion. So that's going to be a big thing for them, possibly. So you never know. You never know how these things sort of play out, especially with being the Challenge Cup. It's all about fairy tales, isn't it?
Well, we outplayed them the other week. There's no reason why we can't do it again. I know what you say. The body is an issue. I mean, Hull KR are making this big thing about no Mikey Lewis, and one of their forwards is injured now. And it's like, oh, we've got a crisis. You're missing two players out of a squad of 30-odd. We're missing 5, 6, 7 out of a squad of 20-odd. I think our crisis is a lot worse than theirs. If that's the way they want to go about it, Paul Rowley doesn't make a thing about it. He's not. He understands that's what the cards we've been dealt, and that's what we've got to do. After the game on Thursday, I thought there was talk that Sneedy might pick up a ban or something. I know Amir Burrow was called up, wasn't he? But got cleared, and he was fine. But if they hadn't been playing, you just count the bodies, see who's fit, and put them in. And maybe Mark Snead doesn't play. Kai Morgan gets a go. We sign the halfback. Not losing. He's got to play sometime. That could have been his chance. But if not, I mean, go there with the strongest team you can for me. Because winning is a habit. Losing is a habit. We lost last week. We don't want to lose this week. But if we win next week, the confidence that gives us going against Lee the week after. And then we've got Cass and London winnable games. Like, get on a roll, and that's what we need. And I think it is a free hit, but it's one that we can certainly beat them. I know it's tough going there. I hate going there because we've got our record recently has not been great. We don't seem to turn up for some reason. I don't know what it is. The last couple of performances there have been pretty shambolic, but I don't think this team's like that. I think there's something special about it, and we might get beat. We might get knocked out of the cup, and like you said, then we're going to get a couple of weeks rest here and there. Again, that's good for us. We get bodies back, we get a bit of rest, the players can take a week off or whatever needs to be done. But I'd rather be in it. I'd rather be in the draw. But you can imagine, we go away to Hull KR, we beat Hull KR, and then we get Wigan away. Mm-hmm. Well, what was the point in that? You know what I mean? But we've got to be in it to win it. And you just don't know. You know, we might get it and then get the winner of Cass and Batley in the next mm-hmm. round. Then you go in, oh, wow, look. Semi-finals are coming up. Mm. It's a confidence again, a buzz around the club. And from nowhere, from where we were in deepest, darkest December, where we were all ready to commit Harry Carey, we're on cloud nine within weeks. So it's a big game in that way, but there isn't any pressure. There's not 2 points on the line. I want to go to Wembley. You want to go to Wembley. It's every Salford fan's dream. Let's not kid ourselves about that. But at the end of the day, if we do get beat, just they'll play with that. They'll give it everything we've got. Let's hope we come away with no injuries and we go up against Leeds a week after.
Yeah, I just think it's mind games. Paul Rowley's playing mind games. Willie Peters playing mind games.
Yeah.
We've all got a few injuries or we're all knackered. We're going to see how it play out. They're both behind the scenes not saying that. They're both saying, this is a moment, this. This is an opportunity to win something.
Yeah.
So whatever they say to the media, whatever they say to me on Wednesday or whenever it is I speak to Paul Rowley, in real life, they'll be going for it. We know that.
Yeah.
So, like you say, opportunity. Look, Nothing to lose. Go out there and express yourself. That's what I say.
No player that enters the pitch is going out there to lose.
Mm.
No, never. Never. You might have hit, we might have watched Salford at some times and thought, are you really trying? I think we've all been there, but no player goes out to lose a game. I mean, again, Hull KR are going about injuries and all. Well, all they need to do is probably move Petr Hicku from full-back to half-back. Niall Levels goes full-back. Joey Burgess, Ryan Hall on the wings. I mean, straight away you're going, that's not bad.
Mm.
So their problems aren't half as bad as ours by any stretch of the mind. They're at home. They've got a big crowd behind them. They're playing on a Friday night, so a lot of Salford fans can't make it anyway. Because you've got to leave at 2 a.m. to get there. It's just everything's in their favour. Paul Rowley just has to say to his boys, just do what you've been doing. Play like you did against Wigan. Play like you did against Saints. You beat these. Simple as that. It is about getting bodies on the pitch and all that. We need players, and hopefully everybody's come through from last week fully fit and fighting. And for some players, they might be looking at it going, I might not get another shot at the Challenge Cup. Don't know. There's some lads in that team now who were kicking on a little bit, maybe. This might be their big shot. And I know, I mean, Ryan Briley spoke about winning a cup. It's what he wants to do as a Salford player. He's a Salford fan. That's what he wants. Well, I'm sure he'll have a talk with his teammates before the game and say, look, let's not forget what the end goal is here. Give it a crack.
So, prediction time, Parker. I think I'll go first this week because we all want the Nando's. I was thinking today, Parker, when we started doing this podcast 10 years ago, there was a big culture that we witnessed on Instagram of players going to Nando's. A lot of videos of meeting Nando's and drinking Costa Coffee, right? And seems to have been phased out. Can't remember last time I saw a Salford player eating chicken in Nando's or drinking a Costa Coffee. Is it a thing that we don't do anymore, do you think? I don't know. I don't know. There isn't a right or wrong answer. And I always thought to myself, who would I ask? I mean, I can't look into Brad Singleton's eyes when I'm interviewing after the game and say, all right, Brad, just a quickie, Costa Coffee and Nando's chicken, is that still a thing? Because he'd probably, don't know what he'd do, he'd probably give me a death stare, probably. But what's your thoughts on that? Do you think they still eat chicken and drink coffee?
I'm sure they do. Certainly the chicken thing, because it's quite full of protein, isn't it, and stuff. However, whether the dietitians at the clubs have said, look, it's not a good look. Let's knock it on the head or whatever. I mean, they might do it. And maybe they've been told about social media and the hazards. Someone catches you doing something. So maybe keep most things away from that.
Yeah.
If it rugby related or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, it's a strange one. Before we do, by the way, do you notice how close I was?
Yeah.
With this, I was 2 points out this week. I nearly got one.
Yeah. But you don't get one if you're back against Salford.
That's not fair.
Well, it is fair.
You want the score, I'm giving you the score. I said 10-22 and it was 12-22. Yeah. That comes in, I'm having a Nando.
It's weird. I always think that when you do back against Salford, I think he's chucking a chance away for his Nando's here. What's he doing? But I don't know.
But maybe if I do it, then I have to buy you a Nando's.
Maybe.
But yeah. But so far, I've done well doing it that way. So, But anyway.
So, like I said, have a look. Just Insta. There's nobody. Players, no men, ladies, learning disabilities team, physical disabilities team, wheelchair team, all the same. No Nando's, no Costa Coffee. Don't know whether it's a club decision or not. We'll have to see. But we're still going for the Nando's. Don't worry about them. We still want that Nando's if it comes in. So, yeah. I'm going to go for Salford win. I'm going to go Hull Kingston Rovers 10, Salford 36, and Nofaluma hat trick for Paul Rowley's men sends us through to the next round.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I've backed against us for I think the last 3 weeks, and I was wrong twice and nearly wrong on all three, and I'm delighted about that. However, I'm going to break that this week. I don't know why. I've just got a funny feeling after what I've seen recently. And it might not work. You might end up resting half the team up playing some kids he's just picked up off the street. I don't know. But I'm going to say Hull Kingston Rovers 16, Salford 18.
18, 16. Parkett going for the Nando's. Good to see. Yeah. Good to see. Yeah. Here is what Paul Barry White Whiteside said about his prediction.
Hello, boys. I'm sorry about me being absent this week on the podcast. I've got a prediction for you. I'm going to go Hull Kingston Rovers 14, Salford 20. I'll see you there on Friday night, and hopefully my voice is a bit better. Take care, lads.
So that was Paul Whiteside with his prediction, doing his best impression of the Don Mafia boss there. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, sure, but I think it'd be a good game. I think two teams that like to play the game in the right way, throw the ball about. Willie Peters has done a great job at Rovers. And, I just hope it is. It's a shame that it's not on the telly. I mean, not that anybody's bothered with the Challenge Cup for some bizarre reason, which is another debate we could have. But yeah, because I think it would be an entertaining game. And again, because it doesn't matter, with it being a cup game, the shackles are off. It's not like the percentage rugby you kind of get when you're in a Super League game. So we might get more points than I'm predicting. But I think it'd be a decent game. I hope the weather holds. If it's been like it has in the last couple of days, it'd be terrific. It'd be nice sort of dry pitch. And it'll suit both teams, both sort of top of the ground teams. So yeah, it should be good. It should be a really good game. And hopefully we can get ourselves into the hat for the next round.
Yeah. So that's the end of this week's podcast, Parky. Another great show. I just want to say a big thanks to all our listeners who support us through the Ko-fi, buy us coffees, allow us to purchase programmes to produce this pod without you. It's just three lads and a laptop with bad sound. So we can't thank you enough for your support, Parky.
Yeah, absolutely. Say every week. Don't worry. I mean, it's tremendous. The amount of people who say to you, though, say this on your podcast. Tell them this on your podcast. And you're like, wow, I didn't even know these people listened. You know, he's crazy. I mean, we haven't got a clue, really, have we, who's out there and who's listening. We do it because we like waffling on at each other. But, yeah, he does it. He's pretty, when you go to the away game or something like that, listen to that podcast. Ask him about it. Do this. Why don't you do that? You're like, wow, I didn't even know anyone bothered. So, yeah, no, we appreciate it. Just never mind those. Obviously, those who donate, it's above and beyond. But anyone who listens, just thank you for listening to me drone on for as long as I do. It must be hard work at times, but it's brilliant to know you're out there, and we do it for the same reason anybody else would. We do it because we love our club, and sometimes it's good for me to get stuff off my chest. It makes me feel happier.
Yeah, it's like a big counselling session. That's what it is. We sit here and we moan and we cry and we get all passionate about it as well. And we're on a journey, aren't we? It's a roller coaster ride watching Salford Red Devils. Yeah. And I think back for like the last 10 years of doing this and the peaks and the troughs that we've gone through and reported on. Yeah. And I think the job we've done as well, remaining balanced and when criticising the club, giving them sort of suggestions on what we think should happen, what they could do different, rather than just going in 2 feet and saying, this is wrong, this is rubbish. We're giving a balanced opinion and giving suggestions as well, which is what it's all about. Grown to a huge level, which I never would have dreamt at the beginning. And I say, I can't thank you enough, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, sometimes it's tough to try and stay positive, and certainly in the past, not so much recently, but there's been times where you're like, I'm bothering for, why am I giving up my time for these idiots or whatever? But it's like your family, isn't it? You just don't give up on them. They're always there. We've all got problems and whatever else. But the other thing is, when people say to you, oh, well, why don't you say this? Why don't you tell the club this? Tell the club that. It's not my job to tell the club to do anything. I'm a fan. You're a fan. Everybody else is a fan. We can all do that. Sometimes I think people forget that the club do know what the problems are. It's doing something about them that's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
We're trying to turn around a ship here that's been going the wrong direction for a very long time. And it's not going to take 3, 4, 5 years. This is a long-term plan. And the stadium now is getting on board. The team look like we're going in the right direction. The fans have just got to stick with us now and work together. And this is part of that. This podcast is part of that. The club do listen. They do listen to what we're saying. And if any of you guys out there are listening and want to say something, please just send it to us. We'll read it out. We'll question the club if that's what you want. The club aren't hiding anything. There's nothing to hide behind. Let's be honest. You haven't got enough money. So let's just say we are independent, but we will back the club when we think it needs backing. I'll criticise when I think it needs criticising. It's as simple as that. But no, that's why we're all doing it. That's why we're all in it. And that's why we love you lot being there listening to it. And we just want, give us your feedback and let's hear what you've got to say.
Yeah. So big thanks for joining us on this Devil in the Detail. I'm Rob Parkinson. You can find us on Facebook, Devil in the Detail SRD. You can find us on X at DITDSRD. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify. So big thanks for joining us. Good luck, Reds. We'll see you on the other side.